Okay. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, for the life, the type of life, the kind of life that you've called us to, that we've been born into through Christ as our Lord and Savior, through the birth of the Spirit, born in the Spirit and children of God. Father, we thank you that the kind of life that you've called us to is nothing that can be compared to life in this world. It's so much sweeter, so much more fulfilling than anything we can possibly imagine. Father, we just ask you to bless our hearts this morning and fill us with a ever-deepening sense of thanksgiving for the life that you've given us in Christ. And we look to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm kind of saying this for the sixth time in about 44 and a half years, that the rest of you are welcome to listen, but this morning I'm preaching to Eli. As our three kids graduated, I did this, and then with Carly and Caleb, well, now it's Eli's turn. And because graduating from high school and the changes, it's kind of like a threshold that you cross. And everything you've known has been in this room, in a sense, in this house. But now you're about ready to cross the threshold that you've never crossed before. There's some familiar things there, but the world, it's a different world that you're entering into. Morning, Debbie. And the Lord put this in my heart for you. The longer I think about it, the more verses there are, so I will just see what we get to here. But you've done well in your life. You've accomplished a lot of good things. You've grown since that chubby little red-headed baby that was flying over my head when I was waking up that one time. But and you don't need to turn all these verses. You can write them down if you want to turn to there. I'm going to hit a couple real quick here and then land on one. But here, it's from Proverbs chapter 4. And I'll start with verse 1, but my focus is really going to be farther down. Proverbs 4 and verse 1 says, "Hear, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and he said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall prepare thee." Speaking of wisdom, wisdom is often spoken of in the feminine sense in Scripture. "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give thee thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. I'll stop there. But the phrase that came to mind to start with here is verse 7, that wisdom is the principal thing. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Knowledge is far different than wisdom. Knowledge is knowing things. It's knowing facts. It's knowing techniques. It's knowing about things. Wisdom is how we apply knowledge. Understanding is more than just understanding how something works or how things are done, but understanding is a quality an attitude in the heart. To not just know the facts. It's easy, and especially in this day and age, and I'll get to that, but people think they have understanding. They get some facts. They don't know if they're true or not. They think they understand it, and they march forward with that bit of knowledge, and oftentimes without understanding, not really understanding. You think a person may think they understand a person or know a person, but they may not know their background. They may not know what they've gone through. They may not know what their life experiences have been and why they act the way they act or they do the things they do. And there's one thing to know the things and see the things that they do, but to understand what's driving them, maybe on a road to self-destruction or understanding why they do the things they do and what's in their heart. So understanding and wisdom takes information, but it lets it grow and develop. And it becomes something new. It becomes a new set of facts, new truth, new knowledge. But then also, in turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, so you don't get big-headed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as Paul writes, and we won't read all of it here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18, we read, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." Now, the world says it's a wise thing that you did this. It's wise that you did that. It's wise that you've taken these courses, these classes. It's wise that you've done these things. And it's like you have a plan, and that wisdom is going to help you accomplish certain things this life. And there is there are those truths in the world. But the wisdom of man without the perspective of God is foolishness. So let him become foolish in his own sight gain his wisdom from God. Verse 19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. And ye are Christ," verse 23 says, "and Christ is God's." There is wisdom. All things are yours. And you belong to Christ. And Christ is that son we read of in Proverbs, the Son of God. Let me read one more verse. It comes to mind, Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12 reads, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation." And that's not the salvation of your soul, but your own deliverances in circumstances and situations with fear and trembling. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We'll stop there. God's at work in you. A lot more than what you realize. And it's a work of love. And it's a very wise and amazing work. And you've accomplished many good things in your life. And you have much to be proud of. But also remember that God has chosen the foolish things that are foolish to the world. The world has said, you've done great, you've done this, you've done that. And they're good things. But God sometimes chooses the things that we think are foolish. God sometimes chooses those things in this world to exalt those things in this world that the world thinks is just silly, like believing in Jesus, by trusting in God, by praying. We live in a time where we keep hearing about something that it's been around for quite some time, but now it's really gaining speed. And you know about probably more about it than I do. It's AI, artificial intelligence. Now think of artificial intelligence in the realm of what I've been talking about so far. And the world is, I think we're discovering, in our discussions and our messages on the book of Revelation, the world will no doubt take artificial intelligence like they have in everything else. And the great fear is it'll be used for evil. It'll be used for greed. It's very intelligent. It seems very wise. It has a lot of potential. But like anything else that man does, artificial intelligence really just speeds up the learning process of what man knows and discovers new things at a faster rate than what man can. And it's, just as a comparison, think of artificial transportation. How did we used to get places? We walked. Now we have cars. Much faster, much quicker, more expedient. Seems like a very wise thing. But how much of a blessing is it sometimes just to go for a walk that you don't experience? Artificial intelligence is nothing more than man's brain on steroids, if you would. There are great benefits that could come from artificial intelligence, but there's also, as they warn, great destruction, even to the destruction of the human race. There are many advancements that they anticipate coming from artificial intelligence. Advancements in medications and cancer treatments that are already talking about. But what if the question is asked, what's the best virus, what's the best way to create a living organism that will kill human beings and all human beings on Earth? Computers solve those problems. It answers that question without any kind of moral responsibility. So it might be artificial intelligence, and it speeds up the process of learning for mankind, but it's how it's used that's important. And many people are very afraid of what's on the horizon. What you may see when you are your parents' age or my age. The world could be changed so much if it lasts that long, that it would be unrecognizable to us today. AI is out there. It can serve freedom. It can serve enslavement. It can bring cures. It can perfect diseases to make them more efficient and more perfect. There's no difference to the computer. It's solving problems It might have lots of knowledge, lots of data, lots of ability, but it does not have wisdom. It does not have understanding. It does not have that comprehension that's needful for life. It lives in a world of amoral problem solving, where problems are what it fixes and solves without regard to the consequences, really. So it's superhuman, speeding up. It's like, in a sense, not though not directly, but it's like a calculator. You know, you get a paper and pencil, you learn mathematics, and you can sit down, and that's how they put a man on the moon back in 69. Didn't have much for computing capability. A calculator speeds that up. You do lots of calculations faster. A computer can speed that up even faster. So it's just faster, the rapidity with which intelligence is expanded, but the human race and wisdom and understanding, they're afraid it's going to break out of that envelope that is so needful for life. We need wisdom with all you're getting. Wisdom is the principal thing. With all you're getting, get understanding. So a term that came to mind, I've not heard it before, so maybe you're hearing it here first. So instead of AI, I've been thinking a lot about SI, spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence. We already know from a book that's been, and writings that have been around for thousands of years, we already know how the world's going to end. We've known for hundreds of years that there was a Messiah coming. There's a spiritual intelligence that helps us learn about sin and the power of sin. And we have a AI trying to fix diseases that are brought about by spiritual beginnings, sin. And with all the AI in the world, it cannot surpass the spiritual intelligence, the SI, when it comes to dealing with death or the losses in this world, in dealing in coping with things that you know, computers don't cope. That takes understanding. When people fail you, when people hurt you, when people bless you, whatever it is, those emotions, how you deal with that situation, that comes from a spiritual intelligence. SI, with all you are getting, get SI. Get spiritual intelligence. And it's available to you right now. And it will be available to you throughout your life on earth. And getting it will be a lifetime activity. It is something that you build into your life or you don't. But you can build that into your life, gaining, pursuing. Your wisdom is the principal thing. With all you're getting, get the Lord's understanding. Get that spiritual understanding that you're not going to learn. Seminaries, they've been cranking out preachers and pastors for hundreds of years, and they turn some out that have no faith in God. They have no understanding of the things of God. Spiritual intelligence begins with acknowledging in your own heart truth. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we can turn there. We'll spend a few minutes there. Gospel of John, chapter 1, in verse 1. Here's something that shows you how really insignificant AI is. In the beginning, In the beginning was the Word. And the word, you've probably heard me say, but I'll say it again since you like Legos. In the Greek, it's the word where we get Legos from. It means logic. A Lego is like a single thought, a Lego block. And when you join one thought with another thought and another thought, those thoughts, that there's a logic, that a picture you see in your head of what you want to create with these thoughts, these blocks, and so you put them together. The word here means the logic, if you would, of God, the purpose of God, what he has assembled, what he has brought together. In the beginning, God's logic was fully developed. His plan for life, for the universe, for the human race, everything was existed. It was there in the beginning. And that word was with God, and the word was God. So God is the spiritual intelligence through which all physical matter, including the entire universe, space, time, all of that plan, that purpose, was born in the heart and the mind of God. Artificial intelligence, AI, is nothing compared to SI. We can't comprehend the size, the massiveness of the universe. We can't understand how even the simplest things on earth work. Recently, I worked with a patient who's since passed away. His wife is a retired doctor. Years and years of experience in different types of medical field, but mainly in her last work was in neonatal intensive care, taking care of newborns. And she got to see the miracle of these little, tiny little human babies. And she says she's just utterly amazed that this little creature the size of a baby kitten could grow up and develop and become the president of a country or any whatever it became. It could have a family, it could have property, it could have a business. And she said, what's in the human body is just utterly amazes me. And she's using that discussion about science versus creation or belief in God. And I said, to me, what scientists and the medical field do is really kind of reverse engineering. They take something that exists and they're trying to figure out, how does it work? How can we make it work better? So they're learning about it, but they're really reverse engineering what God spoke into existence, what was in the heart and mind of God from the very beginning. They are an untold number of millennia behind what God has already created and put into play, and it's going to continue as long as this world is as is. SI already has the answers of the future. AI gives us the promise maybe it'll figure out these problems. And there's a lot, I know there's a lot about artificial intelligence we could talk about that I'm not going to. But it says, next second verse says, the same was in the beginning with God. So not only was the word a logic, but it was a person, a being. And all things were made by him. This is Jesus. All things were made by him, by this logic, by this purpose, by this plan, this logic of God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. His life is what enlightens our lives. It's the life of Jesus that causes our life to us to understand our lives and gain wisdom and gain understanding and see our lives and other people around us and the world and the universe around us through his eyes, through his logic. It's the logic, the will, the ability. I have to look at my notes now, see where I'm at. Given toward you. The past, present, the future. Is at the heart of what God has done in all of human existence and purpose. The logic God, this spiritual intelligence, is the most important thing in your life. Other things are important. But for all of us, spiritual intelligence is the most important thing. Because everything else is controlled by that. The will of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God, everything in, artificial intelligence would maybe tell you that the human being cannot walk on water, but spiritual intelligence says, yeah, no problem. Spiritual intelligence. And then, okay, what that means, I don't know, plug that into a computer and see what it says. What if there are forces at work in the universe that can enable a human being to walk on water? What would AI do with that? I don't know. I'm sure people are plugging that in trying to find out. And there have been those that have inserted spiritual concepts into AI to see what it comes up with. And I've heard things like, well, it really substantiates the reality and the faithfulness of God. Again, it just speeds up the human thought process. And if the human thought process incorporated, but people don't always do that, but if we would incorporate spiritual truths and logic and intelligence into our thought processes, then we grow in spiritual intelligence and we grow in a dimension that the world around you and many people around you will never grow in. And it will put you light years ahead of them. It will take you places that you never imagined that you could go. Because you have spiritual intelligence that puts AI to shame and reveals it for how weak and how limited it truly is. No matter, take all the great things you hear about AI, and they are nothing compared to SI. The opportunities, in preparing this message, scripture after scripture after scripture came popping out. And I know you're not going to remember them all. I know that only a few things might stick with you. But the thing is, they're right here in this book. But the main thing is, they are taught to you by the Holy Spirit. And you can only learn these things by the enabling of the Holy Spirit. So with the logic of God, how can we, it's like trying to teach an earthworm to drive a race car. God revealing his spiritual intelligence and truths to us, it's so we cannot do it. It defies logic that these earthen vessels can on our own learn the things of God. It requires the instruction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your teacher for the rest of your life. You've had teachers, you'll have more teachers, and you'll have those that you learn from in wherever life takes you. But you'll have one teacher that will stay at your side throughout your life, and that's the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, Jesus speaks of that. Because the disciples are very sad as they've learned and are learning that Jesus is, I'm going away. In the Gospel of John 16, verse 7, well, back at verse 6, he's just told them about what's taking place. And verse 6 says, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Someone that they love, someone that they have grown to admire, someone that has touched their souls, has said, I'm going away. But then he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient. It's for your betterment for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go away, if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Their intelligence, their human abilities, it was simply too much for them to bear. There's things that your parents can tell you. There's things that your grandmother and I could tell you. But you can't comprehend them yet. Because it's coupled with experience and understanding and life wisdom that you will have yet to learn. And you will. And will be happy to share anytime. He says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. That's spiritual intelligence. Spiritual knowledge. The Holy Spirit is essential in spiritual growth. The Holy Spirit is essential to our lives as human beings. The Holy Spirit will be your lifelong teacher to instruct you in spiritual intelligence. And the more of it that you get, the more of it you'll want. Because it solves all your problems. It heals all your wounds. It comforts all your distresses. It strengthens you with the ability to do anything, even walk on water. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to hit a few verses here. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, the Apostle Paul had a level of spiritual intelligence that he was constantly trying to impart and encourage the different churches in the different cities. He tried always trying to instill in them and encourage them to pursue these things and encourage them in the Lord. But Ephesians 1:15 says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom And revelation, the word revelation means an unveiling in the knowledge of Him. Spiritual intelligence. Paul's prayer for them was that they would, that God would be with them and bless them, the Father of glory, and give unto them the spirit of wisdom and spiritual intelligence. So that, verse 18, you know, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Spiritual intelligence tells us to plan on resurrection. Believe in resurrection. Make the resurrection of even though our bodies die, we will still live and we can be, we'll be raised from the dead. Death cannot hold us because of the love of Christ in us. Death has no power over us. That's spiritual intelligence. That same power, the exceeding greatness of this power, is given to us who believe. It's offered us who believe. And it's learned as we receive it and remain in the school of the Holy Spirit, where we learn spiritual intelligence. And He can teach us in a classroom. He can teach us as we're driving down the road. He can teach us as we are going through any part of any day. And the instructor's at our side. He says, have you thought about this? I'm going to do something in your life, and this is what it's going to be. Plan on it. There's nothing on earth that can tell you what's going, your life's going to be like tomorrow. I don't know if it's anything to boast in or not, but I tell people, you know, that everything I've always done for a living or for a life, I've never gone to school for. I've never had any formal training except from God. God has helped me fix broken machinery. He's helped me solve problems in supervising others. He's helped me solve problems in farming, working outside. He's helped me solve emotional and heart problems, emotional problems. That spiritual intelligence is given by God. What we need is the ear to hear it and the heart to receive it and the desire to seek it out. Colossians chapter 2, but it's an exceeding great. That's the part I want to emphasize there. It exceeds anything, especially artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is nothing compared to spiritual intelligence. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we read, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, and to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is the principal thing. And with all you're getting, get knowledge. And they are all found in Christ. Knowing that, believing that, embracing that is spiritual intelligence. 2 Timothy chapter 2 basically states that God, who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. This is something that God, as I said, it's available to everyone in the world. But not many, percentage-wise, will really make it a life pursuit. They'll enjoy bits and pieces of it here and there. They'll enjoy the benefits of it, just like, you know, we don't all go out and build roads, but we all enjoy the benefits of there being paved roads. But knowing how to build a road and how to plan a road, how to construct a road, and all the things that go together to make a road, people don't give any consideration to. They just want to drive on it. So a lot of people could be partakers of God's spiritual, his blessings, and be partakers of God's of spiritual intelligence. But how many people do you know that know how to go out in the middle of nowhere and plan and build a good road? That's a different level of intelligence. God wants you to be a builder in the things that have to do with his kingdom. He would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth and to have spiritual intelligence. And in a nutshell, there it is. A vast spiritual universe of exceedingly great and precious, valuable treasures, things to learn, things to grow in, things to be blessed by, things to experience, things set before you, sitting in your lap. And it's all there if you'll have it. If you'll have it. It's freely given. It's to be freely received. All it takes is a willingness that the Holy Spirit prods you to consider. Spiritual intelligence, in the end of all things, is really the only intelligence. Remember, God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And their intelligence and all their wisdom and judgment will fall apart because they didn't include the God factor. They didn't mix it with spiritual intelligence. Be aware of AI. We have lots of reasons to be aware of that and wary of it. But pursue SI. And your life will be more blessed than you could ever imagine. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, for the abundance of life and hope you set before us. We pray this morning especially for Eli and his life and the life you have for him, that you would cause his understanding of your love toward him to abound more and more and more and more as he takes in spiritual intelligence and makes it the treasure of his heart and life. Father, bless him and keep him and bless each one here today, and may our hearts and minds be filled with an encouragement and assurance through the Holy Spirit of truth. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
718, verse 2.
Number 718. Let's stand. Number 718 and sing verse 2. Day by day. Every day the Lord himself is near me.
with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain and bare would cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protector of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made.
God has promised, and his promises never fail. May God bless you. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so. Amen.